The Republican tax plan has passed the Senate, but Congress still has to reconcile key differences between the House and Senate versions before the bill becomes law. The two chambers of Congress are expected to go to a conference committee this week to work out a final bill. Let's bring in David Leonhardt. He's an op-ed columnist for The New York Times and joins us from Washington. David, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
And first of all, just your thoughts on this bill. There's a lot in it now that it has passed the Senate. What are your first thoughts?
I'm disappointed that the Senate passed it. I don't think it's good for the economy. I think it'll hurt a lot of middle class and lower income families. And I think that even if you have different policy preferences than I do, I think it violates some pretty basic principles that several Republican senators like Susan Collins and Jeff Flake laid out, such as protecting health care and not increasing the deficit. And they voted for it anyway. So I find it disappointing.
Were you surprised that so many Republicans who've been talking for so long about deficits and not wanting to run up huge deficits were willing to vote for this?
No, I wasn't. You're right. They've been talking about that for a long time. But they haven't been voting that way. So they haven't been walking the walk on deficits. They've been quite happy to cut taxes, particularly for high-end, for high-earning families for a long time. You saw it in the early part of this century. So I was disappointed by most of the votes, but I was not surprised by most of the votes.
There have been a lot of complaints about the process that was involved with this bill. Here's Senator John Tester, Democrat from Montana, in a video that went viral over the weekend, saying he couldn't even read changes to the bill that had been handwritten into the margins hours before the vote.
Here's the bill as it's written. Here's the modifications that are in it. I can read one word. It's called add this language. Can you tell me what that word is? If you can, you got better eyes than me. This is unbelievable.
How unusual was this process?
Highly. Yeah, it's an amusing video. It was highly unusual. Look, the side that is unhappy about a bill passing always complains about process. So Democrats complained about process during the George W. Bush tax cuts. Republicans complained about process during the Affordable Care Act. But this was unlike anything we've seen. The sheer rush, if you look at the months and months of hearings on that other bill, those other bills, there was none of that here. I mean, there basically wasn't even a single substantive hearing to talk about many of the biggest parts of the bill. Many senators didn't have time to read the final version of the bill before it was passed. And there was a reason for this, which is although Republicans very much wanted to pass this bill, they understood that sunlight was bad for this bill. They knew it was unpopular, and they knew the longer that it spent in the public eye, in all likelihood, the more unpopular it would become. And so they rushed it through. And they're really the only bill that compares to this was the health care bill earlier this year that failed. But there is no major bill in any of our lifetimes, not the Reagan tax reform, not the Bush tax cuts, not the Clinton deficit reduction package, not Obamacare. None of those bills had a rushed, hasty process like this one.
Do you think that as people start to look at it, that there's a chance that it won't make it through this last hurdle, that it's going to need to be passed again in its final form by the House and the Senate?
There's certainly a chance. It looks like the final form it may take are going to violate some of the principles that Susan Collins laid out, and the Republicans can't afford to lose too many more votes, only one more in the Senate. On the other hand, the bill already violates Collins' principles, and she voted for it anyways. So my guess is that the bill will manage to make it through. Congressional Republicans in the Trump administration are really desperate for a legislative win, and cutting taxes is something that doesn't involve a lot of internal tensions for them. So while there is a chance and people who are fighting against the bill shouldn't give up, I think the overwhelmingly likely case is that the bill does pass and get signed by the president.
Let's listen to another clip that went viral over the weekend. This is Senator Orrin Hatch on the Senate floor Thursday responding to a question about the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, which Hatch helped write. And he says he's confident they'll find funding for the program. But then he said this.
I have a rough time wanting to spend billions and billions and trillions of dollars to help people who won't help themselves. Won't lift a finger and expect the federal government to do everything.
Now, when people heard that, some people are worried that the debt that this tax bill is likely to add could be used by senators who want to make big cuts to social programs in the future. Do you think those fears are founded?
two quick points there. I would be a little bit careful about that Hatch clip. If you listen to the entire clip, it seems clear he was not referring specifically to CHIP, but was instead referring to other social programs like Medicaid, although I know it did receive a lot of wide coverage as if he was talking about CHIP. It doesn't seem he was directly. But it is the case that he was talking about other programs like Medicaid and suggesting the people who benefit from Medicaid won't lift a finger to help themselves. I just fundamentally disagree with that. I mean, Medicaid includes elderly people who are in assisted living facilities. It includes disabled children. It includes people who are working incredibly hard, often to deal with their disabilities or to overcome problems they've had in their lives. And the notion that they won't lift a finger is just wrong and I think offensive. Absolutely, to your specific question, the Republicans made it very clear that step one here is a tax cut that is very much skewed toward high-earning households and corporations. And those corporate tax cuts ultimately flow down to high-earning households because they own the bulk of stock. And that then they their next step after that is to say, look, given that we've cut taxes like this, we can't afford some of our social programs. So I think people should expect that the next step is going to be cuts to Medicare, cuts to Medicaid, cuts to education, cuts to all kinds of things the government does. And that's why I think this bill in the long term really is a bad bill for middle-class families.
Now, Republicans have said that this bill will actually increase government revenue by boosting economic growth, despite nearly every outside analysis saying otherwise. According to the Joint Tax Committee, this bill would add about $1 trillion to the deficit, even accounting for economic growth. Here's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who was asked about that on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
The economy would only have to grow 0.4% over the next 10 years to fill this gap that you're referring to. That's not a dramatic improvement. We think you're going to get a lot more growth than that. So I'm confident this is not only revenue neutral to the government, but actually is very likely to be a revenue producer.
David Leinhart, what do you make of that argument, given that, as we said, the analysis points in the opposite direction?
Yeah, when we're done with this conversation, I'm going to go have a big ice cream sundae in order to lose weight. That's roughly what I make of it. Look, there is not a single independent study of any kind, including from conservative-leaning groups, that support that idea. And if Mitch McConnell actually thought he could persuade people of that, he wouldn't have rushed the bill through so hastily. He understood that facts weren't on his side, and that's why he had a process here that was unlike anything else. There is one kernel of truth buried amidst the falsehoods in what he said there. Nothing is more important for our long-term living standards than the rate of economic growth. Nothing. Now, the problem is the evidence that the way to achieve higher growth is through tax cuts on rich people is incredibly thin, right? People will point back to Reagan. And it's true, the economy did well after Reagan's tax cuts, but it did poorly after George W. Bush's tax cuts. And it did well after Bill Clinton's tax increases. And so the idea that the answer for economic growth is tax cuts for affluent people just isn't supported by reality. Instead, the things that appear to be more important are things like education and, frankly, more widely shared growth. Our problem in this country has been a lack of economic growth that's been shared across all groups. The rich have already been doing quite well, and this bill just helps them more.
Well, and one wonders what would have happened if they had taken the $1.5 trillion instead of putting it into tax cuts and put it into education in this country and the kind of long-term effects that we'd have there. I want to ask you one more thing, David Leinhart, which is one of the arguments that's been made is that this cut in the corporate tax rate is going to incentivize companies who've been stashing cash overseas to bring it back. Do you think that that's possible?
It's certainly possible. I think, look, these outside analysts who looked at this bill said that the corporate tax cuts would lead to a modest increase in economic growth. And I think those of us who think this is on net a really bad bill, and I'm obviously one of them, should acknowledge the aspects of the bill that seem to have positive economic effects. The problem is the effects are small from the corporate tax cut, and they are largely outweighed by a lot of other problems in the bill, like the increase in the deficit. So yes, this bill has some decent ideas buried in it, but they're outnumbered and their scale is often completely out of whack. And so, look, I think this bill is already unpopular. If it passes, I think it will be important for Democrats to go to people and run against it in 2018 and make it core to their political strategy.
That's David Leinhart, an op-ed columnist with The New York Times. David, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.